get up indeed. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm telling you what, it's going to be a good one tonight. We're streaming live on the Game Nashville app tonight. We're going to go down on the farm, courtesy of Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. It's going to be a good one. We're going to get you ready for pregame, kind of the pre-pregame for tonight's Vegas game. We got lots of good stuff to talk about, so keep it locked right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, all brought to you by day one sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, our good friends at Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, and Carter Church at Weikart, the Andrews Group, your real estate professional in Murfreesboro. As always, the coach here tonight, Coach, no golf happening today, huh?
No, I'm glad to be here for the pre-game show. So there's too much rain and too cold to be golfing.
I'll tell you what, that's for darn sure, and it's gonna get cold this weekend. So you might as well forget about this weekend too.
That's right. It's gonna get cold. It's gonna get real cold. It's gonna snow where you're going too.
I love it. I can't wait. And of course, our third man in Zach McCann, just a way station tonight before he gets on over to host the watch party with Deanna Kay over at Top Golf. Zach, how are you this evening?
Oh, happy to be here for this penultimate pregame show that we're doing here. That's right. Pulling out the SAT words.
There he goes. I'm going to have to give him another 50 cents for that word.
That's right.
Got it. Anyway, it is Slapshot Radio. We're glad you joined us. And, you know, welcome to the roller coaster.
Woo.
We talked to you last Monday night, starting a three-game road trip, and I believe the prediction from a certain third man in over here was a good one Tuesday, not sure about Thursday, and an egg on Saturday. He now gets the Nostradamus Award because that's exactly how that homestand kind of worked out there. And I want to talk a little bit about that Winnipeg game because that was an interesting exercise in frustration from the Nashville Predators that night.
Well, they did exactly to us what we did to Toronto. Toronto came out trying to wheel and deal, and we didn't get through the neutral zone on Winnipeg, and they were very strong. The thing that I noticed, I thought was a big key, though, was when they had the puck in our end, they beat guys one-on-one and went to the net with the puck, and then that had to release a guy off. The other guys had to release off their men, and they just got us going all over the place. They had us going on crossing, and we weren't covering men, and we were getting beat one-on-one, and that really hurt our defensive zone coverage. And if we would have been better defensively one-on-one, we wouldn't have got all those goal chances against. It would have been a lot better for us in the other end, but we were in our end a lot of the night. We were in our own end.
Well, and I, you know, I love calling it Anaheim Ducks hockey. It's the name of the chapter is they can't call all of them, and I think we saw a lot of that out of Winnipeg on Thursday night. But the interesting thing is you don't see this Nashville Predator team lose its cool very often. I think we saw that on Thursday night, Zach.
Absolutely. It's one of those games that makes you kind of beat that power forward drum a little louder for the Preds to acquire something along those lines when you see this team just get out-muscled. You know, a lot of times I think this team gets maybe unfairly labeled as a speed and skill team. They have a little bit of grit. You're not seeing a ton of it lately, but you look at that Winnipeg game as kind of a measuring stick, whether it's fair or not. But that was a hurt Winnipeg team that you could have taken advantage of, and you just got beaten like a bad habit in your own house. It doesn't exactly help to solidify good feelings about the springtime, because let's be honest, the road to the Stanley Cup is going to go through Winnipeg, most likely.
No question about it. And I could also look at the game in October as a measuring stick game as well, a 3-0 shutout. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I try not to put too much on one game.
Oh, no,
but I think part of the issue, and this goes back to what you were talking about, Coach, and that is this team needs to be on its toes. This team needs to be aggressive on its forecheck, because when they are, a physical team can't do the kind of things that Winnipeg did on Thursday night.
You're exactly right. By us not getting in on the forecheck, they came through their defensive zone, out of their defensive zone on good breakouts. They came through the neutral zone with speed, and they have good speed for a big team. And then when they did give the puck up, they went back and got it, and they took the body, and they finished their checks, and they kept us in our own end the whole night. And it was a very frustrating night for every one of our players. You could see it. And so we'll see how they do. We've got two games left with them in Winnipeg, and those will be big games.
Well, and here's the other thing that's interesting, because I'm going to play this forward a little bit more. The frustration boiled over into a suspension that, quite frankly, you go to Saturday night, and that was an out-of-sync, disjointed, almost confused-looking Predators team that night.
Yeah, because Joey was he's a huge factor on the team, and he sort of settles everybody down with his humor and his just the way he is. He has great life to his game, and missing him was a big time factor. So he got frustrated in Winnipeg. He shouldn't have swung a stick like he did.
Nope.
He learned his lesson. I hope the rest of the guys learn their lesson, and they can't do that. And he'll get 4 and 6 games next time he does that.
Well, now he's a repeat offender, and that's the hard part. The thing is, like, the Florida game was an exercise in frustration, no doubt. But I'm sorry. You take away Matthews and Tavares from Toronto and see what happens. You take away Crosby and Malkin in Pittsburgh and see what happens. And people forget that Kyle Turris is still the second-line center on this team. So when you take away Johansson and Turris, it's going to throw things into absolute, utter disarray.
Well, it did on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But the recovery...
But did it not on Monday? That was the weirdest win I've seen in a long time. And I'll take the points any way you can get them. But this team got dominated on Monday. Pecorino is the only reason why it wasn't an 8-4 loss.
But it's happened a lot on the road. Pekka stood on his head in the first period. We've come back and we've got our game together. We won the game. And on the road, we've done that a lot. But Pekka can't do it every night. No. He can't be there every night. We've got to have more guys going. We have lots of experience on our team, and we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be hanging Peck out to dry.
Sure.
And then to come on and get a lucky goal, a good goal by
the luck was made. Luck was made.
Right.
It felt like a throwback game to a 2012-2013 Preds game. First-line center who should be a third-line center type thing.
It was a weird game, but that was, again, I think it's funny because when you look at it, and we were talking about this on Preds Insider in the first, in the 6 o'clock hour, and this is a team that is a lot easier to scheme against right now because that second line is not firing. You can stack the Joe Fall line up. You could really work on taking them out. And the fact that they're still scoring like they are, the fact that they're still,
Victor Arvidsson, man.
I mean, you look at this and go, this team really hasn't had a functioning second line for
all year.
Well, the beginning, 13-3 to start with, you can probably say that there was a functioning second line. But after that, not really.
Well, Turris not only was hurt, but he didn't play very well. And then
and then
Smitty's trying to Smitty, like, never say he doesn't work hard.
No, you can't. You're right.
But he's been great. And then Fiala's been an up and down player all year for him. So there's a disjointed second line right there, just play looking at him.
I just don't necessarily see where Turris was not playing well. I mean, he was kind of the cog that was driving a very poor Predators power play at that point. I want to say he was leading the team in power play goals at the time he went down.
And then he came back, then he went down again.
So
they've been dysfunctional. And most of our team has just been dysfunctional because of injuries this year.
Sure.
Well,
and it's
been
a real tough go for them.
Well, and again, I'm going to be saying this a lot until I get proved wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that what's the word I'm looking for? The adversity that they have faced over these last 2 months. This coach, you draw on that when it comes to the playoffs. Hey, we've been here. We've done that. We fought through it.
And we did that 2 years ago when Johansson went down. We had centers go down. And we have a lot of players that can take over for the guys, but we're at our best when Johansson's line is together. And then we have Fiala and Smitty are our next two best forwards, but they're not playing the best.
Nope.
I've always said that the best team never wins. The team that plays the best always wins. And that just happens in the playoffs. You can be the best team in the league, and you're not going to win all the time. But if you're playing the best, and Winnipeg was playing the best last year at the playoff time, you're going to win the game. You're going to win the series.
Well, we saw this last year. This Predators team cruised last year.
Adversity at all.
None. Again, how many times do we see them lose back-to-back last year? What, once? Twice? Not a lot. And you're seeing your Tampas and your Winnipegs kind of start to do that, kind of hit that cruise control. So, yeah, I completely agree. This adversity is going to be good for them because this team never got off the ground in the playoffs last year. Even that Colorado series, which frankly should have been a walk, really tested this team. So my hope is Winnipeg takes the division and maybe an Anaheim sneaks into that 8th or 7th place. They have to travel. They beat the snot out of each other and then we take care of business. So
I like how he thinks. I happen to agree with that. I think that, you know, because when you look at, you know, again, it is just this. I wrote it in my blog and it talked about this is the most consistently inconsistent team in the National Hockey League right now. And when, you know, or you can even use the old little girl with a curl reference, because when they're good, they are really good.
And we haven't even talked about the defensemen. We've been just talking about certain lines and Yonkrop filling in here and there. Mm-hmm. Ellis has had a real tough up and down year.
He has. Tough year.
I mean, Ekholm's been great. Yossi's been great. And then the fifth and sixth, you know, Hamels has been okay. He's done his job. And
yep.
And Yank, Weber's been hurt. So yep. We haven't even talked about the D, and the D are a big part of it. And, of mm-hmm. course, Pekka and Yossi have usually played well every night. But the D has been a big part of us not getting jumping in the play at the right time, mm-hmm. or not playing good, solid defensive hockey at the right time.
Right, and some of that has been adjusting to the new defensive.
You're exactly
as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, interesting choice tonight because UC Saros going in net tonight for the Predators, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Good.
Quite frankly, give Rene a couple days off before the All-Star break, and then he gets 5 after the All-Star break, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be helpful for for Pekka, rest, rejuvenate, especially mentally, because again, this isn't a goaltender that we want to see have 60 starts by the time we get to get to the middle of April. Excellent. We're going to talk more about that as we go along, but you know what? Hey, she's been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio are Drs. Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, I tell you what a great staff, a comfortable environment. They make it a lot more comfortable to get your dental needs taken care of. And if that wasn't enough, they offer all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann with you for leading you up to pregame for the Predators and the Golden Knights. And, the interesting piece is we talk a little bit about the goaltending right now, the decision tonight to give UC Saros the start. Zach, I really like this because you're not because Pekka is going to All-Star Weekend, and for the goaltenders, I mean, you know, it's not a huge break for them or for any of the players, really. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's kind of nice that he's going to get a couple of days before, you know, have the All-Star Weekend and then have the 5-day break after.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a strange year in the NHL for goaltending. Goaltending save percentage is at the lowest point it's been in quite some time, with the league average being just shy under .910. And you have two goaltenders in the Predators who are above that, I want to say right now. I know Pekka-Rinne is. I'll have to double-check.
Saros is close. He's .908.
Yeah, but he certainly hasn't gotten the support that Pekka-Rinne has gotten a few times. So
no.
You look at that, and you almost kind of see baseball-like mentality here lately in NHL, with almost a rotating goaltending system for a lot of people. And you want to see UC Saros get those starts because, like we were saying, Pekka-Rinne needs to be rested and rejuvenated. You've seen that the past few years in the playoffs, especially when this team has gone deep, that a goaltender just naturally is going to break down over that time when you're getting 70, 80 games if you're going that far in the playoffs. That's a lot to ask of anyone, especially someone at Pekka-Rinne's age who is certainly defying a lot of those age rules right now. But certainly seeing Saros tonight is a great move, and I think that it shows trust in UC Saros and trust that he's earned lately because he's been looking fantastic. Other game except, you know, accepted.
Yeah, I think it's a good play too. One thing about Pekka, I don't think Pekka will ever lose his physical ability to go play. It's mentally getting ready for every game, and that's what you got to get away from, where you can just close your mind off and just rest that night and say, I don't have to play, and you got UC in there. And that's the biggest thing, is Pekka doesn't have to get ready for that game. He doesn't have to prepare mentally. That's and physically he'll always be okay, but mentally just you can't keep it up so much, as much as you want to.
So you look at this game tonight. You look at the Vegas Golden Knights. This was a team that did not get out of the gate as strong, I'm sure, as they wanted to. But, oh boy, have they been hotter than a $2 pistol over the last probably last 6-8 weeks. Team that basically went from far out of the playoff picture to third in the division. And this is a team that looks like, for all intents and purposes, that you know they're going to try and prove that last year was no fluke. Gerald Gallant doing another really, really good job in Vegas. But I will say I think the biggest piece of that comeback is the return of Nate Schmidt the lineup. I think it solidified that defense because he missed the first 20 games of the season, and it was not the same team.
No coincidence at all that his return was a big spark for the Knights. But for me, the most impressive thing about this team is the scoring by committee. They have 5 players in double digits in goals right now, which is certainly a great thing, and they're solidly in there. You don't have any guys who are lighting the world up right now, but on that team, you're not going to have that situation. I mean, yes, like William Karlsson is not having the same year he had last year, but to make up for that, you've got Alex Tuck with 16 goals. You've got John Marchessault with 17. Max Pacioretty with 14. Cody Eakin with 13, which is pretty surprising from him as well. So it's certainly a team that is very balanced in their attack, and you're probably going to see that tonight, which is why it's so important for this Nashville team to get off to a good start defensively.
You're right. They're very well balanced scoring-wise, but those guys, every one of those guys you mentioned had their best and career year last year, and there's no way they were ever going to score that again. But they all have 16-17, which is be first on a lot of teams, and they have, like you say, 5 guys in that team mark, and It's a tough goal when you get 5 guys coming at you that have scored goals in the games.
Well, not only that, it's a weak year in the West too. Mm-hmm. So when you can afford to have that slow start, and then if you catch fire, you're going to be in there.
Well, and you know it is funny because we keep talking about it that it is kind of there's the big 5 in the West and everybody else. I mean, there's a 10-point separation from 5th to 6th.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, and 6th is the Minnesota Wild, who keeps swapping places with Dallas and Colorado for, you know, who's going to make those last 2 playoff spots.
Well, there's 5 teams that look like 2 of those teams will be in the finals of the West, and it looks like, you know, Calgary could be one of them. But I'm just saying that Calgary's a team. Winnipeg's a team that's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody remembers that we were in 8th place and the last team to make the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yep.
And we ended up, so you never know who's going to come out of it. Every team's a good team, but I think 2 of the teams will be one of those 5 we've talked about.
I will say this, though. When the Predators did make that run and they came in 8th place, like that team, just the underlying statistic did not say typical 8th place team. And you look at a lot of these teams that are chasing right now, and frankly, a lot of them are just mediocre. They have some really, really great strengths, but they have a lot of glaring weaknesses as well. That Preds team that year was a case of not playing up to potential, but if you look at each of them, Colorado, no real line outside of the first. Dallas, what defense outside of John Klingberg? Minnesota is the most vanilla team in the NHL. Vancouver, super young. Anaheim, old, and so on and so on and so on. So you look at those, and I'm just not sure if that's necessarily an apt comparison for that.
I don't think the West is as strong this year. There's no question about that. Because I look at it, and I'm sorry, I like Calgary a lot, and quite frankly, it's the one team I really don't want to see in the playoffs.
They scare the bejesus out of me.
I don't want to see him in the playoffs. Not only does Mike Smith still give me PTSD from a few years back, but I mean, this is a team that has that, you know, we were talking about this earlier, that has that combination. It's got a lot of youth. It's got, you know, the Utes are really in there. They got lots of, you know, they've got plenty of that young talent, but they also have the good veteran role players in there. And this is where players like Mike Smith, like you know, like our friend, the real deal, you know, James Neal. I mean, I think he's having an impact because he struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden figured out, wait a minute, I'm a veteran on this team. I've got to start leading.
Yep.
And once he started that, this team really started coming together.
Yeah, they have 71 points, so they're playing very well right now. But and James has always been a leader wherever he's gone, but mm-hmm. he's had trouble scoring, and they want him to score. But he's just trying to play his game and do the right thing at all times. But they have a good team. They have a Mike Smith and goal who scares exactly out of me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Giordano, and they have some great defensemen.
Oh, yeah.
And they always are second to the Predators in points for defensemen. They're always right up there in points for defensemen. And then they got Gaudreau's line and Monahan, and but after that they're not as strong as the Predators are in the third, fourth lines.
Correct.
Depth lines.
Yeah.
But they still are a good team with Smith and the goaltending and the defense and et cetera, et cetera.
You know, you mentioned, you know, vaunted defenses like Calgary and Nashville. One defense that I find extremely interesting right now is the San Jose Sharks, who have allowed 6 goals in the past 4 games, especially in a wild one last night, certainly with Washington.
Yeah.
I know, Coach, you and I were talking about it before the game, but that's got to be trouble and concerning if you're allowing that many goals when you have all these perennial Norris contenders that I kept hearing about at the beginning of the year.
Well, they're all offensive players, though, those. Yep. I mean, Bernsey comes back when he has to, but
yeah.
The other guy, Carlson doesn't come back. He doesn't. He didn't even try
Vlasic
to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But Vlasic's a good player, but one guy can't do it. And
sure.
Every team is good, but they have some great defense.
They've got some great offensive defensemen, but I don't think they have a great blue line.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do have some.
That's a good way to put it.
Excellent offensive defenseman. It's one of the reasons why, quite frankly, San Jose does not scare me this year.
I don't know. Is there a true juggernaut in the West this year?
You know, not really.
See a bunch of, you know, knocks in the armor for every team. I mean, honestly, the only juggernaut I see in this league right now is probably Tampa.
Yeah, I it's hard to disagree with. I mean, you look at Washington on a pretty terrible losing streak right now. But again, you know, that adversity. Watch out.
Never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And then you look at a team and this is the one that just completely blows me away. You look at the – if I told you, you know, back on, you know, when we did all of our predictions, if I told you at the All-Star break that the New York Islanders would be leading their division, you guys would have looked at me and said, what are you smoking and do you have any more? I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. How has Barry Trotz – what smoke and mirrors has he pulled out to turn this team into a division leader?
Well, we were just thinking that if he got within 10 points of the playoffs at the beginning of the year, that he'd have a good year and he'd turn around. But he's got them going pretty good. And Mitch Korn's got the 2 goalies playing great hockey. And that's a key thing. They played. Lerner was great last. I watched him last night and he played pretty well. Chicago was not a great team, but he played pretty well last night. And Mitch has got them playing very well. Those two guys.
You know, I try not to underestimate the power of a chip on your shoulder, but
there's one there.
They got a full potato on there right now, and it is ridiculous what this team is doing right now. I mean, Matt Barzal is a star in this league, and you look at the cast of characters surrounding him, not a bunch of names, and they are just getting it done right now.
It's amazing, and but this is the quintessential Barry Trotz team.
Yep.
And knock on wood, but he's had no real adversity and no real serious injuries.
Yeah,
kind of feels like that 05, 06, 07 Predators teams a little bit right now.
But with not as much talent.
We had a lot more talent back then, but and it didn't work out because we got hurt. We got a lot of injuries, but he's got them turned around. And last year they could do anything they wanted. They
didn't
back check. They didn't do whatever they wanted. Now Barry's got them believing in a certain system.
Oh, they're bought in.
They're playing great hockey right
now. They're absolutely bought in. That's an interesting story that we need to keep an eye on in the second half of the season. All right, we're up against a break. Coming up next, we're going to go down on the farm with our good friend Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. It's all brought to you by our good friends over at the Patrick J. Brown Agency, your farmer's agent in Mount Joliet. We'll be right back with Down on the Farm right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Brought to you by the good folks at Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency. I'm telling you, you need to give them a call for all your insurance needs. Pat and Mary and the gang, you got to call them. We moved our insurance to them. And we saved a ton of money. The whole family goes over to them. They really, really, and not only is it a good deal, Just great service. Down on the Farm, of course, brought to you by Farmers Insurance. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Slapshot Radio the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Aaron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys tonight?
Doing wonderful. It was so funny because I tried to get him on last Monday night. And, you know, I found out something about Aaron. He can't appear on Nashville radio and call a Milwaukee game at the same time.
Oh. Lazy. Yeah.
That's amazing.
To be fair, I guess I didn't give it the college try. So we probably could have done it, you know.
W me, I reach out to him and don't even check the schedule. What an idiot. Anyway, hey, Aaron, it looks like Ellie Tolvanen sure got a welcome back. What a goal last night.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch him. You know, I think a lot of people, when you see a first-round pick and he had the success he had last year in Russia and the Olympics, and he just won the gold at the World Juniors, I think everybody thought he's coming to Milwaukee, he's going to take off and be a point-a-game guy or better and all of that, and that hasn't been the case. But what he's done is he's worked on his game away from the puck. He's worked on the defensive structure. He's worked on responsibilities. The other night, Sunday afternoon in Chicago, he's out there in the waning seconds of a game blocking shots. You know, he's starting to, I shouldn't say starting, but he's realizing this, getting closer to a complete player. Now, listen, he was drafted because he can shoot. He was drafted because he can score. And we've seen hints of that this season with him. Now, he got banged up a little bit at the World Juniors. He toughed it out because you're playing for your country. He missed some games. He returned the other day on Saturday for Milwaukee. So he's only been back for three games. And he comes out and he does what he did last night. He's been fun to watch, and not only on the ice, but it's been fun to watch. I mean, you guys have seen people, certainly, the coaching, whatever. You've seen guys that it's just a pleasure to watch them progress and mature. And he's going to be one of those guys that I think in the years following, we're going to think fondly of his time here and how far he came.
It's Slapshot Radio down on the farm with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Zach?
Hey, Aaron, staying on the Tolvanen train, as it were, if you had to compare his development to maybe a modern NHLer, who would you look at that as?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, Kevin Fiala comes to mind a little bit because it took him some time to come down here and work out some things in his game, and not necessarily physically, but mentally. With Kevin, and it took, like I said, it took some time, but he's figured it out, and he's become a solid NHL player, and I think kind of maybe the same thing with him. Kevin was drafted much higher than Ellie. You're talking about the second-to-last pick in the first round, and certainly a first-round pick and a first-round talent, but still it was, I think, what, 12th overall for Kevin and 30th overall for Tolvanen. But I think some, you know, they're left-handed shots who feel comfortable on the right side. When they play, Kevin was all offense. Certainly Tolvanen was mostly offense in their games, a lot of skill, things like that. And so that may be the trajectory we're on here with Ellie is the same as Kevin Fiala, that it might take him a little bit of time, but once he gets there, like everybody with that Nashville in the organization and Nashville team, they have to prove they can be there. And I guess that's one of the positive things. It's one of the really good things, especially when you're signing free agents. I mean, I don't know that anybody up there thought Rocco Grimaldi was going to be playing the part that he did. He earned his way. If Ellie Tolvanen is going to be in the lineup, he's going to have to earn his way by showing what he can do in Milwaukee.
Aaron, it's Brent Peterson. I just wanted to ask you about the group of defensemen they have there now. Are they playing? Are they jumping in the play? Are they doing all the things that Predators, they try to get the Predators to do? Or are they sitting back because of the injuries you've had and the call-ups you've had? Do you have to sit back and play a little more defensive?
That's a great question. You know what happened is at the start of the season, the Admirals go 8-1-2 in October, and they're winning games 5-4 and 4-3, and it's fire wagon hockey, and it's enjoyable to watch, and it's certainly enjoyable to call as a play-by-play announcer, but the defensive zone, there were a lot of lapses. Rocco gets called up, and he wasn't the only one, but then when Rocco got called up, there were injuries. Colin Blackwell was hurt right away in the first game of the season, and other guys got banged up and bruised along the way, and you try to find your lineups. So the Admirals started to focus on their defensive game. So defensively, they're pretty sharp. now you have these players, and while the goal numbers aren't necessarily there, Matt Donovan had a lot of goals to begin the season. I think 7 of his 10 were scored in October. Freddie Ellard has some points. Jared Tenorti is rushing the puck. There's a couple of times that Jared Tenorti is looking like Paul Coffey out there. He's doing this end-to-end type of thing where longs, he's doing these strides, and it was pretty amazing. So, no, they're welcome to, if they're controlling the puck and they have a goal, they want them. They urge them to make the right read, obviously, Brent, but Coach, but they need to go when they can. So, yeah, that's what they want to do. They know that's what's going to help when they get to Nashville. They try to play as similar as possible up there. They try to use the same language that Nashville does, that Peter Laviolette does. So when they do get that call, it's as seamless as possible.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. On the line on our Down on the Farm segment, brought to you by Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, is the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. So, Aaron, and most of us absolutely have been impressed with what Grimaldi has done, especially that spinorama goal in the Washington game last week. But when you look at the, I'm going to go back to the blue line though, because how is Alexander Carrier doing? Because that's one that I always like to keep an eye on. Watch the game on Sunday afternoon on the NHL Network, and that's a player that, I don't know, has he seemed to have hit a bit of a wall?
See, I don't know. That's what we talk about a lot around here too. He's a heady player. He's a smart player. He makes the good first pass. He's out there on the penalty kill. He's out there on the power play. He does a lot of those things that you want the guy to do. Question is, where is his speed in the game? Where, you know, physically his foot speed, his skating speed? That is an issue, certainly. And so has he hit the wall? I don't know. I mean, part of that too, Paul, is we look at his first year. He was an all-star as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He made his NHL debut as a rookie. So certainly the standards get raised quite a bit because we see what the potential could be. He is playing major minutes here in Milwaukee. There's no doubt about that. He's in the 23, 25-minute range every night out there. So he is playing a lot. But I hate to say anything negative, mm-hmm. but I don't know where he ranks as a prospect in comparison to a few other guys on the blue line in this organization anymore.
That's a fair statement. And we've only got about a minute and a half left, Aaron. I do want to ask you, what player have we not asked you about, should we know about?
Well, tonight that we haven't talked about, and you have seen him this season, but Anthony Richard scored a hat trick last night. He's up to 17 goals on the season. You got to see in his one game the type of speed he has. Mm-hmm. He had a little bit of a drop-off coming back, and you guys know that when that happens, when guys get sent back down, sometimes there's a lull, and whether it's pouting or whatever it is. And I don't think that was the case with Richard, that he was pouting, but it's a different game, certainly, and you're expected to do different things. But Anthony Richard, I think the more looks he gets at the next level, I think the more impressed you're going to be. And there, too, his development is coming along extremely well, and he can be a nice player in the NHL, I think, despite his size. But we've seen it with Nashville that the height and the weight don't necessarily matter if you can play the game and you're smart.
Yeah, Richard sitting there with 17 goals and 13 assists, 30 points on 41 games so far this year. Aaron, we certainly appreciate you taking the time for joining us. And I know you guys are back in action, what, tomorrow night, I think?
Friday, Saturday. Friday at 7 and Saturday at 1 p.m.
All righty, the Milwaukee Admirals back in action. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us on Slapshot Radio. He is the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
All righty, we're going to be back to wrap this thing up, and we may even check in on a few other things that have been going on around the NHL as we take you all the way up to pregame right here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I don't think I've ever been brought in by Gary Bettman before. That's all right. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. And let's see. When you give up 15 goals in three games, apparently when, you know, you lose, seven out of your last 10, apparently when you fire your head coach, bring in another head coach, that head coach does worse than the last head coach, and you get to the second intermission and Detroit is beating you. Apparently that's what broke it for Peter Chiarelli in Edmonton. Fired in the second intermission last night. Zach, that's insane.
Is it insane?
Where's your scoop? Where'd you get that from?
I saw it on Twitter earlier, okay. So it must be true.
Of course.
yeah, I want to say it was someone respectable. We'll go with that anyway.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I'm a good journalist. Anyway, so I'm sorry. I look at Peter Chiarelli's tenure in Edmonton, and what good did he do that team besides winning the Connor McDavid draft lottery, which he did a lot of work for?
That would be absolutely nothing.
Was it the Lucic contract? Was it the Hall for Larson trade? Or maybe it was passing on Matt Barzal. Was that the good thing that he did? Because I look at those things, and this team, if you look up dumpster fire in the dictionary, you're dumping oil all over it. Sorry for the pun.
Oh.
I apologize for nothing. Anyway.
Well, they certainly are wasting Mr. McDavid.
You have the best player in the world.
That's right.
This guy is magic on the ice, and he's the reason why they're not tanking for worse players right now, because he's willing this team to where they're somehow kind of in the playoff race. Not really. That defense is atrocious. They just re-signed that awful goaltender to another 3-year extension, which apparently Chiarelli did by himself with nothing from the Oilers brass on that, I guess, as a giant middle finger waving out the door.
Wow.
I don't know, but you look at this, and the Days of Our Lives soap opera that is the Edmonton Oilers, like, hearing Chiarelli got fired, it's like seeing your favorite show get canceled. Because, honestly, man, that was a lot of entertainment to watch. It's like if reality television was a hockey team, that's the Edmonton Oilers.
No, that's kind of like when your favorite television show is canceled after they've jumped the shark.
Right, it's... Yeah.
you know, it's...
They wish they could jump the shark.
It's fascinating because this is a team, and I'll be honest, I thought that the hiring of Peter Chiarelli... I'm going to admit it. I thought it was the best move Edmonton made in that offseason, the fateful offseason, 3.5-4 years ago? I really thought it was a good move. They brought in a Stanley Cup winning general manager who, yes, he pulled it apart, but guess what? He built the Boston Bruins into that championship team.
He did.
So you got to give him that credit. Now, did he trade away... You know, Taylor Hall.
Yes.
Did he trade away, you know,
Eberle for nothing?
Jordan Eberle. Yeah. All of these, you know, and you look at this and go, it's a shame, especially for Edmonton fans. I mean, at this point, do you and Zach? You said it earlier. You might as well say it now.
I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to trade away the best player in the league yet again for a king's ransom.
Ooh.
I actually didn't even mean that one.
Yeah, but it worked.
It did work. I think at this rate, you look at this team, the problems are too deep for a quick fix, and you're either going to waste the prime of one of the best players to come in this league in a long, long time, or you're going to have to rebuild. And that's the thing. This is an admission of a rebuild. Even despite the fact that they came out and said, no, we don't think we're in a rebuild. You know, that's a pretty heavy state of denial right there, I look at it. But looking at this team right now, the goaltending is not great. The defense is not great. The depth outside of Draisaitl and McDavid is atrocious right now. I saw a stat earlier that McDavid and Draisaitl right now are accounting for 60% of the scoring on this team in two players. That's ridiculous. There's just no easy fix, and I think you do have to ship out one of those players if you're going to try and rebuild this team.
Well, there's definitely no quick fix, but I don't think you can trade any one of those two guys. I don't think you can trade McDavid. You can never, although everybody says you couldn't trade Gretzky too, but I just think that it's...
Gretzky had already won 4 cups by that point.
That's exactly right. So I think you just got to stick with it, and you got to build, and you got to trade, and you got to do little things here and there, and... I mean, maybe we got to hire Barry Trotz to teach him defense.
I think that's already there. I don't think that one's going to happen. But you look at this team, you look at, you know, how... I mean, Connor McDavid is signed for how long?
8 years.
Okay, they've got him signed for 8 years. Yeah. Is there a no move?
I don't know, honestly.
I mean, that's where you look at this and go, all right, you're in trouble. This is a franchise. That look, you know what? All they have to do is show up and people are going to come out. There's no question about that. There is a very deep and abiding love for the Edmonton Oilers in the city of Edmonton proper. No question about that. So, I mean, they keep coming out and keep coming out and keep coming out as the glory days go further and further and further in the rearview mirror. They're like Flyer fans in that respect. I mean, so, but how do you waste a generational talent inside of a rebuild like this, Brent? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It's really hard because you have to win. You don't have to win right away, but you know that he is going to be very, very, I mean, Connor McDavid is going to be, we got to get going here, guys. We got to put something together here.
He's saying the right things.
And I know he's trying to be a good team guy. Mm-hmm. He's trying to be the captain, but he's frustrated as heck because he's got one player, two players. Nugent Hopkins is playing pretty good right now. He's got three players he can play with up front. Nobody on the back end. There's not one guy on the back end that I like. And their goaltending is very spotty. So what do? You just got to pick away. You got to get a good draft this year. You got to make a couple changes. But you can't trade those top guys. You just can't. You can't do it.
You know what? I understand where you're coming from. And I mean, look, do you trade McDavid? Maybe. But I think a Nugent Hopkins.
I don't think you can. You can treat anybody else but McDavid or Dreisaitl.
And that's exactly where I was going to go because I look at this and say, I think you can trade Dreisaitl.
Yeah, you can.
I really do. I think you can trade him. Would it be good for the team long term? Who knows? But at this point, who's going to give more than a bag of used pucks for any of these players?
Right. I don't know with Dreisaitl's contract if you can trade him. He's making what, $9 million against the cap right now? He's good. I don't know if he's $9 million good away from Connor McDavid.
That's a good point. I mean, you gotta wonder what the difference is, and I'd be curious to look at the analytics. I need to do that. Look at the analytics with Dreisaitl on the ice with McDavid and off the ice with McDavid.
There's no clear path of succession for this team right now. At least when the Leafs were bad, it was like, okay, we're gonna get Babcock and we're gonna be bad. And then they had that line of succession with Kyle Dubas, who has done magnificent work as their
sure
GM.
Has.
I don't know if there is a John Chayka or a Kyle Dubas or like a young analytics-minded GM to come in and do that, especially in a market like Edmonton that loves their, you know, let's just hire a former player and we'll see what happens, you know?
It's fascinating. I look at this situation and it's going to be a really interesting one, that's for sure. Guys, we're close to a burned another hour.
Let's do it.
So, what do you think? What do you think you see tonight out of these Nashville Predators? We got about a minute.
Well, we need to have a better start for sure. And let's just you can't get down yet, and you have better put your skating legs on tonight because they are fast and they're faster at home because they're confident. So we better skate with them, take the body, and make sure we start fast.
For my sake, I hope we see a win because I got to be at Topgolf in a few minutes. And no, it's way more fun when we're winning.
Absolutely. Hey, make sure you join Zach over at Topgolf tonight. Zach Dianakay and the energy team, Nash, the whole gang going to be out there at Topgolf downtown. So check them out because if you see a car flying down Murfreesboro Road, please leave him alone. He's trying to get to the watch party.
Thanks, please.
Anyway, so Preds pregame is up in just a minute. And coach, I think we've got this is one of those ones, you're about to go into a 9-day break. You know, you really want to go into that break positive, feeling good about yourself. Win tonight's pretty important for that, don't you think?
Really important because you have to, it's a big break. It's a long break for us. Normally we only get 2 or 3 days when you get a break, but now you're getting 9 or 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're playing your best hockey going into that break, because if you're not, you can reset, but it's really a tough situation. Right now we're in good shape. We had a good win on Monday, a really good win on Monday, and now you're playing a really solid team that's going to, they're going to want to do the same thing you do is get that break, and that this is
absolutely
this is their last game too.
Well,
so you gotta make sure that you go in and you do all the things that you can do, you know, you can how you can play, and I think we'll be all right.
Thanks for joining us for Slapshot Radio. We're back next Wednesday night at 7. A big thank you to the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the Patrick J. Brown Agent, your agency, your farmer's agent, and Carter Church Real Estate. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer behind the glass, Buck, our co-hosts Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.